Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
March means chips, dips, and swish. Instacart makes getting game time snacks easy with delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. The hard part? Choosing between your favorite snacks. That's why you can stock up on all your favorites with $5 off when you spend $30 or more on specially marked Frito-Lay chips, dips, and more through Instacart. So you don't have to choose between Doritos and Cheetos or Tostitos and Ruffles. You can just get them all. Offer valid for a limited time. Exclusions and additional terms apply.
All righty, away we go. Hour number two of our radio program. That's right, rocking and rolling. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We'll talk some March Madness as now we're down to the Sweet 16 coming up in a few moments with John Fanta, who is just so entertaining, and he does a fantastic job covering college basketball for many outlets. So we'll talk to John in just a bit as the Sweet 16 gets underway tomorrow with Clemson and Arizona, San Diego State and UConn, Alabama, North Carolina, Illinois, and Iowa State. And then coming up on Friday, we have NC State, Marquette, Gonzaga, Purdue, Duke, and Houston. And then the game that I'm most excited for is actually Creighton in Tennessee. That comes your way a few minutes after 10 o'clock on Friday evening. I think that is going to just be a tremendous matchup with McDermott's squad and their four just tremendous players. We had Stephen Ashworth on the other day, and we know that Dalton Connect is having a sensational season in his only year in the SEC, his only year at Tennessee, as he's been the SEC Player of the Year, and he was a first-team All-American. Tennessee's actually a 2.5-point favorite in this matchup, and I think that's just going to be a wonderful basketball game. And you see a team like Creighton, you wonder, after finding a way to survive up against Oregon, will they be able to find a different gear? And the same thing for Houston, where it was very close. It didn't look like it was going to be close, and then they blew it against A&M, and they were able to survive in overtime after all those guys did foul out. All righty, one of the more entertaining voices covering college basketball is John Fanta, Fox Sports, Big East, the Field of 68. Always love talking hoops with him this time of the year. John, it's always great to see you. Thanks so much for doing this. How you been?
Zach, I'm doing great. Coming to you straight from the sources, straight from TD Garden in Boston. We just wrapped up media availability with Iowa State and Illinois. Match for the best defense in America versus the best offense. And then how about a national championship game rematch, which it doesn't feel like it's getting talked about a ton. That's not common that you see in the NCAA tournament in UConn, San Diego State. And part of the reason for that is that the Huskies are 33-3. But I'm doing great, my friend. It's always fun to join you and talk college basketball.
Yeah, when you look at the first two games tomorrow, Clemson, Arizona, San Diego State, UConn, I don't want to be disrespectful to Clemson, don't want to be disrespectful to San Diego State, but I think UConn's going to win this game by more than 10 points, and I'd be very surprised if Arizona does not get to the Elite Eight to hopefully set up that matchup with Caleb Love going up against UNC. Do you give Clemson, do you give San Diego State any at all a chance in this matchup tomorrow evening?
Well, I don't give San Diego State much of a chance. I think that UConn is clearly the best team in the country. They answer every question. And frankly, San Diego State's best player, Jaden Ledee, with Donovan Klingon on the other side of the matchup, I think it's worse of a matchup for him than having to go up against Adama Sinogo last year in the championship game. So I think San Diego State, just 31% from three on the year, they're fighting an uphill battle. You know, the team to me that could give UConn the most issues in Boston this weekend is probably Illinois because of their scoring prowess. You got to score with Connecticut. You can't just hope to win a grinded out game. They'll beat you. I do give Clemson a shot. Why? Because if you hold Arizona to half-court basketball, you can have a chance against them. And the thing is, Clemson has good shooting. Joe Girard, Chase Hunter, Hunter with back-to-back 20-plus point games. He's been fantastic after a dud in the ACC tournament. And P.J. Hall's a throwback player. Ian Shefflin, another guy who gets on the glass, plays his tail off inside. You've got to make it a half-court game against Arizona. If you allow them to get in the open court, you will lose. But Clemson's one of the teams that I trust because they're balanced, they're experienced, and I think they can hang around. Do I think they can win? Well, I do. I do think that they could pull off an upset, but I'm not picking them to do so. I like Arizona in this game. I just think there's too much explosiveness. The key for Arizona, though, Zach, which version of Kylan Boswell is going to show up? He's been very inconsistent. If he has an off game tomorrow, it opens the door if Girard and Hunter are knocking down threes because it allows Clemson to set up their defense.
In a men's tournament, as John Fanta is here with us, where we don't have a lot of recognizable stars or recognizable names, when the bracket first came out, I just kind of looked at Arizona with Caleb Love and I said, okay, let me get that Elite Eight matchup with the trip to the Final Four going up against R.J. Davis and Armando Bacot. I was not optimistic on Alabama heading into this tournament. I've kind of grown more confidence with them through the first two rounds. I think Bama's going to pull off the upset coming up tomorrow evening against UNC. Where do you fall on that game as currently right now UNC's a 4.5-point favorite?
Well, I like the pick by you. I think it's a toss-up game. I like Alabama there with the +4.5. Why? Because it comes off as a first-to-80 type of game. Alabama should be able to score at will. Carolina's going to be able to as well. That's my one concern. Alabama's just, they're very poor defensively. Although, you get in the tournament sometimes, Zach, and teams just find a gear defensively that they haven't found before because it's a one-game play-in. You know, here's the thing. Mark Sears has to get some help. Like, Aaron Estrada went 4-for-14 in the last game against Grand Canyon. That's not good enough. Like, you can't go 4-for-14 again. Rylan Griffin, the same way. Like, some of their supporting cast has got to perform. I'm a little bit worried about Alabama in this game against Armando Bacot. I think Carolina, it would behoove Carolina to feed Bacot early and often. If I'm Alabama, I say, you know what? We want to make sure that R.J. Davis isn't getting off the dribble into the lane and for easy baskets. But I got to tell you, Zach, I like Carolina, but I don't mind your pick there of Alabama. If there's an opening night surprise, I think it comes from that game. Why? Because, again, you're picking Alabama because you trust their offense. They really score the basketball well, and they can control the way the game is played. And Nate Oates is a great coach. He really is a heck of a coach, and he'll have his team ready to play. So this is going to be a fascinating showdown here. I like Carolina. I think it's destiny for us to get the Caleb Love Bowl. But then again, it might be too good to be true. And Carolina could be looking ahead.
Talking to John Fanta, it's so funny how this works. When Illinois had Kofi and they had Io, they don't get to the Sweet 16. Now they get to the Sweet 16. Iowa State has had a tremendous season. We know TJ is a phenomenal coach. I give the slight edge to Illinois in this game. I don't feel great on either side. I'm judging by one of the answers you gave earlier that you're leaning Illinois, but how do you kind of break down this game and what does it come down to?
Yeah, this is a really hard pick. What it comes down to is, can Iowa State find a way to contain the pieces beyond Terrence Shannon? At the end of the day, Shannon's averaging over 30 points per game in his last six games. That's scary good. It really is. But when you combine him with Marcus Damask and with Coleman Hawkins and with the pieces around him, Ty Rogers as well, Illinois right now, it's easy to see why they're the best offensive team in the country. Now, they say great offense beats great defense. Here's the issue. Illinois is not very good defensively. Now, Brad Underwood took exception to that in his media availability earlier today. He said, ask Miami how they were defensively last year. Look where they ended up. Illinois kind of reminds me of that Miami team with the way they can score the ball. But you say it. I love what you said about Kofi and Io. Io DeSumo and Kofi Coburn. Here's the thing. Illinois played differently then than they do now. There's a great story this week in The Athletic, I believe C.J. Moore, and I'm writing about Marcus Domas today, and I'm going to reference what's in that original story, but talk about Domas' role for Fox Sports. And the story, Zach, is about how Brad Underwood called Jay Wright. Not called. Jay Wright had the Illinois-Tennessee game, and Underwood got together with Jay after the game. And Jay Wright said, you got to post up your guards. You got to play differently. Play some what they call in Champaign now, booty ball.
Yeah.
A change in approach and psychology has led Illinois to being different, being tougher to adjust for, and it's led them to success. So, you know, the wisdom says Illinois, but Iowa State is so tough. It feels disrespectful picking against them. They've had a remarkable season, and Taman Lipsey and Keyshawn Gilbert seem determined. I don't know why. But I just think Iowa State's going to find a way to outlast Illinois in this game defensively and with their backcourt, with Milan Momcilovic playing a big role. Somehow, some way, the Cyclones get enough offense and get this game into a half-court setting. Shannon, 30 points per game, it's a lot to keep up. I think if anybody could find an answer for him, it's Iowa State.
Talking to John Fanta right now, DJ Burns has been such a joy to watch with NC State. Shaka Smart now back in the Sweet 16 with Marquette. I look at this matchup, and it's bizarre how I'm going to say it, because you had the five games in 5 days. NC State, they go on the great run. They win the ACC tournament. They didn't have any look of that they were sluggish in the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. With how they were rolling, even though you think the layoff would help them, does this layoff a little bit now work against this story of NC State that kind of caught lightning in a bottle last week?
Yes. It does. The layoff works against them. They were on such a high. They were riding such a high. I don't like it as much heading into this game. You know, I think that the line tells you to take NC State. But Marquette is the anti-NC State in the post. Oso Iguodaro is going to cause nightmares for DJ Burns in ball screens. Burns is going to be – I don't think NC State can put Burns on Iguodaro. They can't have him guard him. They're going to have to put Muhammad Diarra on him and maybe live with Burns – kind of guarding David Joplin. I don't know. I expect Marquette to go five out to really space the floor. Iguodaro can catch the ball, Zach, at the top of the key and drive you, take you off the dribble. Tyler Kolek and Cam Jones are in as much rhythm as anybody right now. I think this Marquette team is sneaky good heading into this Sweet 16. Like, it's weird saying that about a two seed, but Zach, nobody thinks they can make the Final Four. I think they feed off it. I love Shaka Smart's group. I love the way that they can score the ball, and they've got more of a toughness than in the past. I like Marquette to beat the Wolfpack.
Gonzaga, I thought they were getting a little disrespected heading into this tournament. I know that it's not been their best year for their standards. They're still right now a 27-7 team. Purdue, deservedly so, got disrespected because of what happened in previous years. Is this just Purdue's year where they're going to get to the Final Four, or do you see them maybe get an upset coming up on Friday up against Gonzaga?
I don't think they get upset against Gonzaga because, to me, Gonzaga, I don't think – shocker, I don't think they have a great matchup for Zach Edey. Nobody does, but I really question them in the post because I think Graham Ike so much is on his plate. If Ryan Nemhard was scoring the ball and shooting the ball more effectively, I'd say Gonzaga has a chance. The ball's in Nemhard's court in this matchup. He's got to try to negate Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer, but that's just it. Now – you've got Trey Kaufman Wren in such a rhythm. You've got Smith and Lawyer who can do their thing. Lance Jones was an invaluable addition. And Purdue wiped the floor with Utah State, who was the Mountain West regular season champion. I know the Mountain West has gotten ripped to shreds for a lack of tournament performance. At the end of the day, the league still had a quality year, but the best team in it got absolutely embarrassed by Purdue. I think Purdue's on a mission. I like the Boilers to win this game to cover that spread and to be on the Elite Eight. Notice, I didn't say they're onto the Final Four because they are not into the Final Four in my bracket.
Do you take Creighton then? Is that to go into the Final Four? Or you go Tennessee?
Well, originally I took Tennessee. But, Zach, I don't feel good about it right now because I did not like the way Tennessee played against Texas. For whatever reason, there's something tight about Rick Barnes-led teams when they get to the NCAA tournament. And it worries me because Creighton's not going to be tight. Creighton is tough. They've got shot makers. They take it possession by possession. I like that about them. I do think I am really fascinated, Zach Gelb. If we see Creighton meet Purdue, you know, I'm almost pivoting to Creighton here in this game.
I had him in the final. Now, but let me preface this by saying I also had Kentucky going to the national championship game and losing to UConn, so I don't want to pat myself on the back. I had Creighton before the start of this tournament. I didn't really trust any team in that bracket. But you look at Kalkbrenner, Shireman, Alexander, the consistency they've had the last 2 years. And how about Stephen Ashworth? I saw him play at the Big East tournament. I know they lost. That dude, with his lack of size, he has confidence and he's tough as nails.
He is. He's tough. He's mature. He makes plays for others. They're not the deepest team. Jason Green gave them a boost in the double overtime win over Oregon. Sometimes during the tournament, you got to get lucky. They got lucky against Oregon. They got their, you know, free out of jail card because they were down by 4 with 30 seconds left. And they find a way, and Oregon made a huge mistake inbounding the ball to Infali Dante. Now, Creighton has an extra life. I would not have given them an extra life in this tournament. They're more, to me, they're more offensively dangerous than Tennessee is. And Creighton's a top 20 defensive team. I actually think they have a decent matchup for Dalton Connect. I expect it to be a great game, but Zach, Creighton is a bad matchup for Purdue. Why? They foul only 11 times per game. That's fewest in college basketball. That means the guy who fouls the least inside, Ryan Kalkbrenner, is going to meet the guy who gets fouled the most in Zach Edey. What happens when Edey gets straight-up defense from a guy that's close to his size? I'm fascinated.
You talked about how Creighton survived against Oregon and how that could propel them. Is that the same case with Houston, who almost choked that game away against A&M, and then with everyone fouled out, they were still able to find a way to get it done? Is there, when you look at Houston and their road here, do you think maybe Duke pushes them aside coming up Friday, or will this start to catch fire here with the Cougars?
I like Duke the closer the game gets. And I'll tell you why. Losing in the ACC tournament was the best thing that could have happened to John Shire's team. I think it was a taste of reality. It was a taste of, hey, man, we've earned nothing. It was the first time Duke had lost their first game in the ACC tournament in 11 years. 11 years. But it allowed them to have a week. Rarely does Duke have a week in between games from a conference tournament to the NCAA tournament because they're typically playing in the semis or the final of the ACC. But it allowed them to refocus. And right now, Jared McCain's as hot of a shooting guard as any in the country. 30 points on Sunday against James Madison. Do not leave him open. Jeremy Roach, Tyrese Proctor. Duke actually has the backcourt to negate Houston's backcourt. And Zach, when Houston meets Duke, who's the best frontcourt player, the most talented? His name's Kyle Filipowski. Like, Houston's not loaded up with talent and scoring in the frontcourt. Duke is. This is a game where Duke, to me, is showing more and more. I know it was against Vermont and James Madison, but they're showing right now why we had them preseason top three. If that team shows up, they absolutely could beat Houston. The key, that team's got to show up.
Last thing I'll ask you, let me just get to Louisville. When we found out that the job was going to open, even though everyone knew it was going to open, I said, call Scott Drew. He'll probably tell you to go pound sand or use you for his negotiation tactics with Baylor. And then I said either Dusty May or Pat Kelsey, with it being Pat Kelsey on a reported 5-year deal, the initial reaction for Louisville basketball is what?
That I think they got a solid hire in a job that's been devalued. Louisville basketball has become the Oakland Raiders. All right. The brand is strong. There's a great fan base. But the fact is, within the building, there's dysfunction. They need a new energizer to their program. And I give credit on this hire. Pat Kelsey is a fiery character. He's from Cincinnati. He knows the area of Louisville. He made Charleston a big-time winner. I mean, they won 58 games the last 2 years. He was terrific there. He's up at 5 a.m. every day. He gets the fan base. He's very passionate. His teams play with tempo. His teams are going to score. If for nothing else, Zach Gelb, his team is going to play a much more refreshing style that the fan base can get behind. And that could be dangerous in sometimes the slower ACC. What is the key? Can he recruit? Can he recruit the right people to Louisville? I think he can. I think he did a terrific job at Charleston. He's not afraid to go the D2 route. What I would encourage him to do is don't change who you are. Don't change what's gotten you here. At the end of the day, whoever's been the Louisville head coach has tried to be somebody that they're not and has tried to be somebody that doesn't work today. Don't look at this as a legacy job. This needs a total reset. A total reset, take the shovel out and try to dig back in. Like Dan Hurley's done at UConn. You know, Dan Hurley's honor in the past, but he's building something different because he called for something different when he took over the job. That's what Pat Kelsey's going to be tasked with. I do like the hire. I don't think I would have loved anybody in this role, but I like what Pat Kelsey's going to be taking over. Now he needs alignment in the building, and you need to shed off some of that Oakland Raiders dysfunction and get a collective consensus. I hate to put a stray to the Raiders, but that's what I think of when I think of Louisville right now. I see the brand. I see the fans. But in terms of functionally winning, it hasn't even been close to that.
He is John Fanta, Fox Sports, Big East, the Field of 68. But actually, John, I think your most important job these days is being the hype man for Red Panda. Will we have any kind of reunion with Red Panda for the rest of the NCAA tournament? Because I saw that video in the Big East tournament, and I think that's the highlight of March so far.
Never say never. I'm certainly open to it. But I can guarantee you'll get it next year in the second week of March at Madison Square Garden. That I can guarantee.
John, you're the best. We appreciate it. Thanks so much. Enjoy Boston.
Thank you, Zach. Appreciate you.
There he is, the great, and I mean the great, John Fanta. No more entertaining person covering college basketball today than John Fanta. All righty. We will take a timeout on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Who could replace Dak Prescott with the Dallas Cowboys a year from now? Well, one former NFL MVP has a suggestion. We get to that next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Hey, Mel. Bri here. Gotta work from home today because the whole family caught a nasty.
Daddy!
Hey, Mikey! If you're gonna puke, find the popcorn bowl!
But my availability is 110%. Coincidentally, so is my fever. Kidding. Mel, I'm so cold but hot. But I'm going to get you that budget. Just as soon as...
Mikey! Popcorn bowl!
Press 1 to use Instacart and get your family's sick day essentials delivered in as fast as 30 minutes. Press 2 to keep working. Do not press 2. Just use Instacart, Brian.
When it comes to family vacations, there are a million different trips you can take. You can get your own... trip to Texas. Or if you prefer a vacation from your family, you can always get your own leave the kids with grandma.
Yay!
trip to Texas. So go to TravelTexas.com/getyourown for the only trip to Texas that matters, yours.
All righty, rocking and rolling. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. It is a Winkler Wednesday. Bart Winkler will join us coming up in about 15 minutes from now. And at the top of the hour, friend of show, the new head football coach of Alabama, Kalen DeBoer, will be joining us for a little college football fix. So yesterday, we played you some audio, and we played you audio of Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, saying that when it comes to Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders, they'll both be top four picks in the NFL draft a year from now. And Coach Prime did go on to say that there'd be some teams that Shedeur wouldn't play for, you know, paraphrasing here, and he could pull an Eli Manning, which would be dictating where you would go. It doesn't matter if, let's say, like a team, you know, at the time, like the Chargers had the number one overall pick. Eli wanted to go play for the Giants. Giants were sitting there in at like four or something in that draft, or six, whatever it was in that draft. And they ended up taking Phillip Rivers, and they found a way to execute the deal and get Phillip Rivers to the Chargers and Eli Manning to the New York Giants. So a lot of people, including yours truly, said, well, if Coach Prime is going to stay with Colorado, it makes a lot of sense. Broncos don't get a quarterback this year. You have Sean Payton there, that you could see Shedeur Sanders forcing his way to the Denver Broncos. Well, former NFL MVP and longtime analyst on the NFL Today on CBS, Boomer Esiason was doing his talk radio program earlier this morning on CBS Sports Network and WFAN in New York. And he said to his crew, you guys did not ask me where I think Shedeur Sanders is going to play. So Boomer Esiason said that he believes and he would predict that Shedeur Sanders would force his way to the Dallas Cowboys. And I give a lot of credit to Boomer for coming up with that take. Because everyone, every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and Zach Gelb was saying, Broncos, 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 Broncos. And people have even said before that Coach Prime, who has adamantly denied ever wanting to be an NFL head coach, and he's vehemently denied it, but you have had people say Coach Prime could one day reunite with his relationship with Jerry Jones and be the head coach of the Cowboys. Coach Prime, though, does not believe that his style would work with the NFL with professional athletes. But Santer, to have Boomer have the foresight to say that it's going to be Shedeur, I could see it. Especially when you talk about Dak Prescott, and Dak Prescott now, in a bizarre way, entering the final year of his deal, everyone, it was a foregone conclusion, right? It was a lock that the Cowboys were going to renegotiate this deal significantly. They were going to give him an extension, tack on more years, because that cap number was so large of this year of $60 million. And 2 weeks ago, when it comes out that they renegotiated the deal and only dipped to $4 million on this cap hit, and then yesterday, Ian Rappaport puts it out that, yeah, they're not going to get a deal done this offseason. Everyone's like, Whenever you expect something to happen with the Cowboys, it's kind of expect the unexpected. But every, and I mean every Cowboy insider, every single guy and gal that covers the team was saying they were going to get a long-term deal done this offseason. And yesterday, barring a change of heart, it looks like there will be no deal done with Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. And Dak could go into free agency. And next year, Dak, he can't get tagged, so there's no tag restrictions or anything like that. He has a no-trade clause. Not that I think a deal would get done in season. But Dak Prescott, if he wants, has the right to leave. And the Cowboys also have the right to not give him a future contract after this year. And I always say this about the Cowboys. They care more about drama than wins and losses. I don't know what Shedeur Sanders is going to do this year. I think Shedeur Sanders, and I've said this for a while, he could be a really good quarterback, and he's going to be a hot commodity next year in the draft. He'll be a first rounder. Is that closer to the number one overall pick or closer to the 32nd pick or smack in the middle? That I don't know. We have to see how this year does play out. But wouldn't that fit from a drama standpoint the Jerry Jones kind of philosophy and the Jerry Jones playbook. And you could also make it make sense from a football standpoint, where you reset the time clock in the organization, right? You're in salary cap hell, they say, right now. So you get rid of Dak Prescott, and his contract's up, and he goes and he gets a new team, and then you get a quarterback on a rookie deal where you could go build back up the rest of the roster. And oh yeah, by the way, you have the Coach Prime connection. You have all the drama and all the fun that comes with Shedeur Sanders. And even if Coach Prime doesn't want to be the head coach and replace Mike McCarthy, you'll have a lot of fun that comes with Deion's kid being the quarterback. This seems to make a lot of sense, and it seems to really hit every play of the Jerry Jones playbook, Samter.
I mean, it makes sense, and it hits every play of the Deion Sanders playbook, right? He's very loyal to his former teams, maybe outside of FSU. But
doesn't even acknowledge them anymore.
I know, right?
It's worked out well, though, for the Seminoles. Mike Norvell has him rolling the last
year. Yeah, and it's worked out for Deion in his own way as well. It makes sense on both sides. It's just a matter of whether or not the Cowboys are going to be able to find a way to get a pick. If Shedeur Sanders is going to be a top four pick, then at some point the Cowboys are going to have to like be a top four pick team. And as many issues that there are with the Cowboys, I don't see a way of that happening.
So I agree with you. That's the only hiccup, but that also
falls. It's a pretty big hiccup.
It is. It's a roadblock. But doesn't that fall in line to what Coach Prime is saying? That it doesn't matter what the draft board says? We will dictate the destination of Shedeur Sanders?
I think that there's a difference between what Eli did and dictating where you're going to play. Eli said, I'm not playing for the Chargers. Mm-hmm. He may not have specifically said, I'm going to go to this team in particular. Now, the Giants had the fourth pick. They only moved three spots down
to make
the swap. And, you know, two good Hall of Fame caliber quarterbacks have worked out for both teams. But, like, if you're looking at it from the Cowboys, if the Cowboys can have, like, the 20-somethingth pick, 26, 25, 27, something in that general range is what we kind of expect that they're going to be, a 10-11 win team again, who's going to fall in the playoffs. But, like, how they're going to move up with that kind of salary cap problem, and I don't think they have like a plethora of picks because they haven't really made any moves to add that.
But you have future picks, and this is the thing. It's not as crazy to move up as we think it is. We've seen Kansas City Chiefs be a playoff team. They move up.
But they moved up from the 20s to 10. To 10.
But still, the Buffalo Bills, they were a playoff team. They moved up. And they were able to get into the top 10. I think Josh Allen was the 7th pick. It is possible. You just have to get into striking distance. Let's say the Cowboys, you know what? I'll even play this from a positive and a negative way. Let's say the Cowboys once again are 12 wins. And they're picking at 27-28. You can move up from 27-28 if you attach future picks to get into the top 10. Let's say, though, the Cowboys, McCarthy in a walk year, Dak in a walk year, and it kind of bottoms out, and bottoming out for the Cowboys would be 9-8 and they just missed the playoffs. If you're sitting there in the low 20s or the high teens, it's a lot more easier to move up into the top 10. And we've seen teams before. Now, I know the Eagles were sitting at like 12 or 13 and they moved up into 8 and then they moved up into the second pick to go get Carson Wentz. We've seen teams make two trades in order to eventually move up into that striking range. You just got to get into striking range. And the other thing is, we don't know where Deion's kid, Shedeur Sanders, is going to go in the draft. Like, yeah, if he's the first quarterback off the board, it's very tough to get into that number one pick spot. But if he's like the third quarterback off the board, and it's not one of those years where it's like three or four quarterbacks in the top 10 and he's just outside of the top 10, it makes it easier to move up. So we got to see how it plays out this year, obviously. But I thought that was a very good thought by Boomer Esiason. Shedeur Sanders is the next quarterback of the Cowboys. And then it puts Deion back in play. I know Deion has said no to being an NFL head coach. You're telling me your kid is the quarterback of the Cowboys and you have that good relationship with Jerry Jones that you wouldn't say, they fire Mike McCarthy, you wouldn't be interested in the job? I think that's the one way you could see Deion coaching in the NFL.
Does that mean he's taking Shiloh in the 6th round also?
Maybe the 3rd round. Maybe the 2nd round. Maybe you get Travis and Shedeur. Maybe you find a way to get both in the 1st round. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Bart Winkler will join us next on Winkler Wednesdays. Update time first. Here is the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Yo, next round is about to start. You ready?
Yeah, just shopping for a car in Carvana.
For real?
Yeah, Carvana makes it super convenient to shop whenever, wherever.
For real? That's a ton of car options.
Yep, and these are all within my price range.
For really real? You can afford that?
Yeah, with Carvana. And boom, just like that, I'm getting it delivered in a couple days.
For really, really real? You just bought a car.
For real, and you just lost my turn.
Visit Carvana.com to shop for thousands of vehicles under $20,000.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a battle for CBS Sports Radio. Sack.
Lethargic. Putrid. Pathetic. Quitters. They're quitters. What a joke.
Bart.
Something fun to talk about? That's what we do here. It's like, hey, guys, it's like we're just hanging out at a bar talking sports.
It's time for Winkler Wednesday. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
That's what I'm talking about. That's right, all right, all right. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. It is a Winkler Wednesday. We go to my friend, and that, of course, is the host of the Bart Winkler Show right here on CBS Sports Radio, Monday through Fridays, from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, the great Bart Winkler. Bart, how was your vacation last week? I saw you were off for the entire week. We don't vacation shame on this show like others do. Like, oh, how does a guy take off for a whole week? But what did you do on your vacation?
Well, first of all, the fact that you were all, like, off the whole month of February, I was like, oh, I can take a vacation. Maybe
what do you
mean?
I wasn't off.
Oh, you're in Puerto Rico. You're in wherever that. I think you were on the moon 1 week.
I only missed four shows, though. Only four.
Oh. Okay, well, I missed more than that.
Yeah.
It was less of a vacation and more of a trip.
Okay, where'd you go?
We went to Florida.
Ooh.
We saw my parents who live there. And then my wife's mom is spending a month in the Villages. So I had never been to that portion of the state before. Likely will never return, but a very beautiful, very beautiful area.
Yeah. I'm just going to go on a limb here. When Bart Winkler goes to a pool in Florida, and I know the weather may not have been great, but let's say if it is a good weather day, you're probably just marinating yourself in sunscreen. I think you probably sunburn very easily.
You are right. Good call. I did do pretty good. I did pretty good not getting burnt. We stayed in pools. My parents have like a little shade thing. They have a pool at their house. No beaches. Not a beach guy.
Not a beach guy at all?
Get me away.
Not even if I give you a nice drink? You have no interest of going to the beach with a nice drink in hand.
I like the beach drinks at the beach bar. But like, we went on a vacation once where we just like, what do? You just wake up and go on the beach all day and read and stuff. Man, that sucks. That's not fun. So not a beach.
I feel like that if Bart is going to go on one vacation, I don't know why, Bart Winkler, you give me big cruise guy vibes. That's what I kind of feel like with you. You're a big cruise guy.
Never have been, never want to be.
Man, I always have my pulse on the situation.
You got the sunburn thing. You got the sunburn thing, right? But
I'm batting 50-50 then. You know, I'm batting 500. That's not bad. I would get a record-breaking contract in Major League Baseball.
There's only one place I'd ever want to go, and I'll go there over and over, and that is Las Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas. How many times have you been to Vegas?
Only like three.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll go to Vegas. Actually, I was thinking about this the other day. I was going to text you. Maybe for the first or second round of the playoffs, depending on when they are and everything and what my schedule's like, maybe I make another trip to Milwaukee and we go to a Bucks playoff game together. Your thoughts on that?
I would like that. I also want to get to New York. I had big plans to get there tomorrow for the Mets home opener against the Brewers, and then they canceled it.
Push it to Friday.
I can't go Friday.
It's all right. You probably weren't going to come either way. Bart Winkler here with us. Let me get to the Cowboys here now. So every day we do a show, we got to talk about the Cowboys, right? That's part of the gig here on national media and doing a national radio show. But the Cowboys are the gift that keep on giving. They're not going to get a long-term deal done with Dak Prescott. With him having the ability to hit free agency next year because they can't tag him, do you think this is the final season for Dak Prescott in a Cowboys uniform?
I don't think it should be. I know we do talk about the Cowboys a lot, but I enjoy it. I enjoy talking about the Cowboys. I hated them growing up as much as anybody. And I will not call myself a Cowboy fan, but the line I always use is, I do like watching them and I do root for them to win. I'm not a fan, but I do like enjoy watching them. I'm astonished with this offseason because not only are they not signing new guys, they're letting old guys go or, you know, players go and not replacing them in any way. And Jerry Jones, like, okay, he was doodling on that piece of paper. Pretty funny. But that's what he is doing in this offseason. He's not doing anything. And now he's got Mike McCarthy, lame duck. Dak Prescott,
lame duck. Quack, quack.
And the way that I, like, the way that I approach what I thought they would do in the offseason, and I feel terrible about saying this, but I'll just say it how, like, if I was Jerry Jones. If I was Jerry Jones and I was 81 years old, I don't think I would waste any seasons being like, well, we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, the end is near.
And I would just think of my own. I'm not saying that, you know, he's going to die soon.
No, I'm not. Well, he's not living for 20 more years. And he's not running the Cowboys for 20 more years. Like I'm not kidding. I was thinking about this morning.
You feel bad saying that? Like, yeah, one of the reasons terrible. I think the Cowboys should be more aggressive in free agency is because Jerry Jones is old. Is that messed up?
No, it's not messed up because I was thinking about life earlier this morning.
Oh.
You know, I had to buy my father a 65th birthday present, and I'm going to be taking off, so don't vacation shame me, on April 12th because I'm taking him to Mohegan Sun.
I'm off too that day.
Oh, look at that. Well, you have more off days than anybody here. I want to know who your agent is. You just got here to CBS Sports Radio. Dude's more off than he is on with the network. But I got my dad tickets to Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band playing at Mohegan Sun, nice 10,000-seat venue. And I thought to myself, man, my dad is 65 coming up in June. And I'm taking him a little bit early for his birthday in April. And I'm like, there's a chance he only has 20 more years. Like, we have good genes in my family. A lot of people live to the 90s. But if, you know, you say to someone your dad gets to live to 85, that's a pretty damn good run. So I don't think it's crazy when Jerry Jones is, what, 81 or whatever he is right now, for you saying there should be a little bit more urgency with the Cowboys. But it goes back to this. The Cowboys don't really give a rat's ass about the wins and losses. They just care about how much drama they stir up. And that's why if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm saying peace. At the end of the season, I'm going to Seattle. I'm going to Minnesota. And I'm going to Denver. I'm going somewhere other than Dallas because I think Dak is just tired with the dog and pony show that constantly happens with the drama Dallas choking Cowboys.
My dad's going to turn 65 also this year. And I've never thought about his mortality until just now.
No, so sorry to do that. This is now a morbid show.
Well, more of that tonight, 10 o'clock Eastern. Yeah, with Dak, like, that's the thing I don't understand about Jerry Jones and what they're trying to do is, and I mean, you guys are talking about Shadur before. That, like, is, like, the only, like, unless Jerry Jones just, like, well, geez, I don't want to do anything right now because, you know, there's a chance I might get Deion. And, you know, unless he's waiting, unless he's just, like,
he doesn't have a plan, though.
In.
He doesn't have a plan. A month ago, they were
all in. You're not going to get a quarter. The Dallas Cowboys have no feasible or reasonable track to get a quarterback better than Dak Prescott.
Did you just make up a word?
What'd I say? Feasible?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the end almost near for you as well? You got life insurance out there, Bart?
Where am I? I'm not going to be off April 12th. I'm going to be off the planet is the problem. They got no feasible course for a new quarterback, a better quarterback. So what are they doing? I think too many people say, oh, Dak Prescott's just Tony Romo because the similarities with how the seasons have gone. Dak Prescott's a top 10 quarterback, man. Might even be top five.
No,
he's a really good quarterback. You're not getting a better one if you're Dallas.
He's not top five. I think you could argue if he's even top 10. I think he's somewhere in the range of 8 to 13. But before we let you run, I think you'll be very happy with us. We did a segment to start the show as Bart Winkler's here with us. And we went around the room and I said, Jared Goff's a free agent in 2025. Brock Purdy's a free agent in 2026. Dak and Tua both in 2025. Trevor Lawrence in 2026. And then Jordan Love next season is a free agent. And I went around the room and I said, just give the name. Who's the quarterback for the next 5 years that you have the most confidence in? Stu said Jordan Love. Samter said Jordan Love. And I said Jordan Love as well. So obviously, I know your answer is going to be Jordan Love, as it should be. But you take Love out of the equation. Goff, Purdy, Dak, Tua, Lawrence. Next 5 years, who do you have the most confidence in?
Dak.
Really? Not your boy Brock Purdy?
No, he's getting exposed this year. Lawrence already has gotten exposed, and nobody wants to say it. Goff is fine. Tua is good. I think Dak's the best one there.
And it just shows you, when you list that many quarterbacks, how it's a little underwhelming, let's just say. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Bart Winkler, thank you as always. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All righty. We will take a timeout. Coming up momentarily, we will be joined by the new head football coach of Alabama, Kalen DeBoer. He did a sensational job, obviously, at Washington. We talked to him when he was at Fresno State. And when the job opened up for Alabama, he was one of the first names that I mentioned. So we'll do a little college football fix when we return, coming up in 5 minutes as we get set for a new era in Tuscaloosa. And that is Kalen DeBoer, who is replacing Nick Saban. We know the legendary Nick Saban is now off in retirement. And you have an Alabama team where I was looking at their schedule the other day. I think a lot of people think Alabama's going to fall back. No, I don't think that. I look at Alabama's schedule the other day, and you know the brand of Alabama, and you get the quarterback, Jalen Milroe, coming back, and you have a strong offensive-minded coach in Kalen DeBoer. I think this team is set up for a really good season in year number one for Kalen DeBoer in Alabama. All righty, coming on back, it is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. College Football Fix next.
Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, old man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Listen up. I won't sugarcoat it. This is the longest cold, flu, and allergy season we've ever seen, but we're not alone. We've got Instacart. Sure, you may be a coughing snot faucet who just wants mommy, but you're not giving up! Not when cold medicine, fragrant herbal teas, and honey shaped like bears can be delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. Now let's go win the sick playoffs!
Daddy, I just want my soup.
Oh, sorry, Sport App says it'll be here in a few minutes. Instacart for the win.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.